during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back. Whoa. Bob Washburn still in the studio. This is our weekly installment of Consider This Live. Thanks to Rich Quartermain for dropping a line to us today to talk about the wrap-up of the U.S. federal election. But now we're going to move on to a more local-specific issue. Joining us in the studio is Ian Angus. And, of course, he is well-known in Port Hope. And we're going to be talking about the issues that are going on in Port Hope. What I said just before we went to air here was this is a story about how council says one thing and did so for a long time and did something else. And, you know, it gets back to the do as I say, not as I do mentality that often pervades community government. So here's Jenny C. Riley with Harper Valley PTA to put this in perspective. Well, it may not have been the Harper Valley PTA, but Mr. Angus, Ian Angus, and his group. Let's get the listeners up to speed on this. Now, this is a story from our local newspaper. Port Hope will appeal the trust fund ruling. That's the most recent story. We'll go back to 2010 as well and what this is all about. But the Port Hope mayor had announced that his municipality is going to appeal the Ontario Superior Court judge that Port Hope misused money from a $10 million trust fund aimed at easing the tax burden for rural residents of Ward 2. The ruling on misuse of the trust fund awarded by the federal government for low-level radioactive waste projects was made by Justice John E. McCarthy in Newmarket. The mayor pointed out that the court has established that the trust fund is a valid non-charitable purpose trust for which the municipality is trustee and that the trust will collapse in just under 6 years. In view of the municipality, Sanderson said, the risks associated with the legal challenge was having the fund declared an invalid trust and losing the fund immediately, the worst possible outcome for rural residents. As a result of the court ruling, the municipality is now under order to account for misspent funds. The situation goes back to the year 2000 when the federal government provided both Port Hope and Hope Township with $10 million grants for agreeing to host the site for the historic low-level radioactive waste facility. Sanderson said that there is a risk that the funds will revert to the original settler of the trust when it collapses in 22, meaning the money goes back to the Government of Canada as outlined by Justice McCarthy's decision. Port Hope Council strongly believes that any decision that places the rural LLRW fund at risk of not continuing indefinitely to benefit the rural residents defies the entire original intention. Council expressed disagreement with the comments that this decision was a victory for rural residents. Given the adverse consequences of not appealing far outweigh the impact of doing so, the mayor said that Port Hope Council has decided to take the decision to the Court of Appeals. Sanderson said risks associated. Okay, so this sounds like a lot of scaremongering. Oh, my goodness, we're just going to lose the money. If you're not happy with the way we're spending it, it sounds to me like they're just saying, well, if we don't spend it, we're going to lose it anyway. So really, what are the people upset about? It's what I'm getting from the mayor here. Now, this story goes back to 2014, of course, when the former Reeve, Ian Angus, and Ward 2 residents Dean Ross served notice on the municipality that they wanted some answers. And joining us in the studio is Ian Angus. Ian, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. So I understand that there's been some things in the last week or so that have taken place that sort of bring this a new page onto this controversy that's been going on for quite some time. Can you bring us up to speed as to what's happened?
Well, in the past 10 days, we've had the so-called accounting that the municipality was ordered to produce by the end of October. Mm-hmm. Good. They produced something. Unfortunately, they didn't produce an accounting of the fund. They produced an accounting of what their books show. They booked for this expense and that allocation and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean then? This accounting, what's happened in the books? Can you give us some figures? What did the documents that they did produce show us?
They show some interesting things. First of all, by their present admission, it's over $2.25 million that they misused. So that's helpful. At least getting an acknowledgement of that much is a step in the right direction. They've allocated themselves a fair chunk of money, about $250,000, as interest on the monies that they allocated to misspend here and there, but didn't actually withdraw from the fund. And they have done another thing that's curious. They have arbitrarily allocated about $400,000 of money in 2001, 2002, which for the first time they are saying was used to reduce the taxes in Ward 2.
Mm-hmm. So what was the original intent of the agreement? What was that fund supposed to be used for originally when you first entered into this agreement?
It was given for the purpose of being of benefit for the ratepayers and the residents of the municipality.
Now, municipality
okay, well, that specifically for Ward 2, because Port Hope, this all happened before amalgamation, right?
Correct.
So Port Hope got $10 million.
They got their own $10 million.
Right, and you, in Ward 2, in what is now Ward 2, or which, now, just for clarity, what was the area called before? Cold Springs, what was it called?
No, you've got to be more local.
Well, Ward 2, what was it called? I mean, now it's called
Hope
Ward
Township.
2. Hope Township. Thank you very much.
We live in Hope.
Yeah, thank you. I'm having a brain fart here, listeners. I'm not getting any anger. No one's throwing me a rope. The question is now that these people got that money, $10 million, it was put into a trust for them. Port Hope got their own $10 million. And then when the two were amalgamated under the auspices of one municipal government, the $10 million, I mean, you were a trustee of the trust in Hope Township. Am I correct on that?
You're not.
Who were the trustees in Hope Township then for the trust?
The Royal Trust.
Okay. And in Port Hope, the trustee was?
They never put the money in a trust. They never put it to a third party to administer.
So it just went into general revenue as far as they were concerned.
That's right.
Okay. So because you folks in Hope Township had, you know, sight enough to create a trust for this money so that it would be used to offset increases in property taxes and other municipal user fees, that's right. I assume that's what the trust was created for.
That's correct.
So once Port Hope and Hope Township became one, it seems to me that the mayor and the council of Port Hope just said, hey, well, we just got another $10 million to blow. Is that pretty much what happened?
Well, the blowing had to wait until they got the final all clear from the federal government, because since it was tied to the establishment of a long term storage facility for the low level waste here, as opposed to somewhere up in Deep River or Elliott Lake or something like that, they had to wait until the CNSC, which is the commission that oversees atomic energy issues, did approve that there could be a safe storage site here. And there are all sorts of regulatory issues and safety considerations and all that. Once they give that approval, then the $10 million given to each of the three municipalities was going to stay with them and not go back to Ottawa.
So how did Port Hope, the municipality of Port Hope, assume trusteeship over this trust that was set up through Royal Trust? How did they just assume it was theirs? Like, how did that happen?
They appointed themselves.
And
so the pre-existing trustee didn't have anything to say about that?
Nope. So now that they've had this and they've spent some of this money, What does that mean in terms of the original mandate and what they've actually spent the money on? How is it even in the ballpark of what was originally the mandate for that fund? Nope. Or has it been on things other than lowering of taxes for Ward 2?
Other than lowering of taxes. And most of it was spent that way. I did a quick summary of the monies that they had spent prior to 2012, and I found 22.8% of that money was properly spent.
So when you say properly spent, then it was for Ward
77% was being misspent.
Misspent. And do you have any list of what kinds of things that money got spent on?
Yes. We have a lot of it purportedly going to the building and equipment reserve. Now, as I understand it, a building reserve is so that you can make buildings. Since amalgamation, there hasn't been a single building erected municipality in Hope Township.
But that isn't even an active kind of account, is it? A reserve is usually where they just stick money to save up for a rainy day when a certain...
And that's the sort of that's what they have accounted for in this document that they produced last week.
Well, just I'm going to break in here because I have this is a piece from Todd McEwen of Northumberland News. Here's the breakdown according to the municipality. Okay, listeners, $4,980,351 has been paid out since then and applied to the following manner. That's how this is how they're going to account for the nearly $5 million that was spent of residents' money. $2.2 million spent to the building and equipment reserve. Okay, that's $2.24 million, so you know, quite a bit of money. $152,328 went to reduce rural area related capital or operating expenses, and I'll get you to delve into that a bit more. And then $2.5 million, almost $2.6 million, to reduce rural area levies. Okay, and that's all as of June 30th. The fund has a total. So they've been spending the interest, $10,092,716. That's what's left of the fund at this point. That's, at least that's what the municipality is saying. That's as of November 1st, by the way. So thanks to Todd McEwen of Northumberland News for bringing that out. To reduce rural area tax levies and also related capital operating expenses. Where did they spend that money? You live in Hope Township, right?
We haven't seen it.
So where's that? Where'd that $152,000, for instance, to reduce rural area related capital or operating expenses? What does that mean exactly? Is that the cost for doing the roads in the winter? Is that what they're talking about?
As far as I can figure out, and no one is being terribly clear about this, that's to pay for things we've already paid for in our taxes.
Exactly.
So I don't know what that's all about, and the only way to get to the bottom of that is to go back to basics and say the fund was $10 million, the fund accumulated so much interest every year, we have a record of that, and how much did you properly spend? And the difference is what they misspent.
Is part of the problem the definition of properly spent? Like, how does one determine what was properly spent?
For them, that is the whole problem.
That is the whole argument.
Because properly spent means they wrote checks. That doesn't seem to be much more sophisticated than that.
Well, because it seems to me, given this accounting, this rural tax levy reduction and the operating expenses, again, these are things you've already paid for with your taxes. It sounds to me like they've arbitrarily decided, okay, well, let's go back to 2001 and figure out what costs were related to Hope Township, and let's pull those costs out of this fund rather than pulling those costs out of what would be your ratepayers' rates. It sounds to me like they're doing a double. It's like two sets of books, really. We got one set of books where the costs are being covered by ratepayers through their taxes at the municipal level, and that's what covers things like making roads paved and things like that. And then we've got a separate book, this other book that they've pulled out of their hat that says, "Oh well, for those expenses, we had to take that money from the trust." So as you say, are they paying twice?
Well, absolutely. That's the only conclusion that we can come to. And I was on a committee where we were trying to rehash and settle on a going-forward basis a fair and equitable division of taxes between the urban and the rural wards.
Mm-hmm.
I was on that committee for 2 years. We kept asking this same question. What did you do with the money? They kept saying, well, sir, we only have one set of books. We can't tell what money we spent in Ward 2 versus Ward 1. We said, well, surely you've got to be able to figure out the difference between a Ward 2 snowplow and a Ward 1 snowplow. They're different animals.
But does it even have to be that complicated? It seems to me that everybody's making this so complicated. I mean, we know where people live. We know from the tax roll where they're located. Can we not just say, look, the levy is going up, let's just for round numbers say 2%. So, and can they not just turn around and say, okay, for these taxpayers, because they're in the former Hope Township, we're going to lower theirs. Instead of a 2% increase, they're going to face a 1% increase.
That's exactly what the fund was created for.
So
you've got it.
Okay.
It's simple. It's very simple. And actually, how you write it up is also very simple.
So any monies that were taken out of that trust, there should be at least a check stub. There should be some way of accounting for any monies taken out of that fund. And if any monies were taken out of that fund for anything other than offsetting rate increases, as Rob just outlined, say it was 2%, and we know that $750,000 will cover the cost of a half a percentage, so we'll take $750,000 out of the trust, and those people won't see a rate increase. They'll just get the money to the municipality from the trust to offset those rate increases. But again, you know, as Rob said, I mean, it's pretty simple. That's pretty basic math, right? If you have this account that you're drawing money from for this purpose, then there should be no other monies coming out of that fund for any other purpose. And right now, the municipality is not willing to account for any money that was taken out for any other purpose.
Well, they took $550,589.19 out a year ago, March.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what it's for. There's no council authorization. There is no nothing. And they promised, by the way, that they would explain it in this whatever they produced last week. And it's not in there. But how can you have something calculated to 19 cents and not know what it's for?
No, that's a valid point. On that note, we'll take our first break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation with the former Reeve of Hope Township, Ian Angus, and Rob Washburn. You're listening to Consider This, part of the Drive Time on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Never in the history of popular music has there been a force like the Beatles. Their magic is such that people want to know all about their music and how each song was conceived, written, and performed. So, in this series on the Beatles, we'll follow all of their recorded work. Here is the most complete radio program ever done on the Beatles. The Beatles, the days in their life.
Heard each Saturday night at 7 right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas.
Playing November 4th to November 10th. Doctor Strange, rated PG, no free passes accepted. Trolls, rated G, no free passes accepted. And Inferno, rated 14A.
The Rainbow Cinemas are located in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West. Give them a call, 905-372-2444, or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
Northumberland 89.7 is powered by our volunteers. You can help us continue to be Northumberland's truly local radio station. Contact us by emailing info@northumberland897.ca.
All right. Well, we are talking about the monies that were misspent by the municipality of Port Hope, funds that were to be held in trust for the residents of the former Hope Township, now known as Ward 2. $10 million plus interest, $5 million of that money has gone who knows where. I mean, it's like, I swear, it's like Dick Cheney and the missing billions of dollars in Iraq. Nobody knows what happened to that money. Go ahead, Rob. You got a question?
Yeah, I do. Mr. Angus, how important is it that we really know that it was spent on new tires for a truck or that it was spent for plowing a road or digging a ditch? Is that kind of detail really important in this conversation as we go back? Or is it just a matter of principles at this point?
Without taking the metaphor too far, that's what they're trying to do to cover their tracks. But the answer to your question, no, it's totally unimportant. It's irrelevant.
So just by the fact that we now have some identified numbers, how accurate do you think those numbers are that were presented? Are they an accurate reflection of the monies that have been misspent?
No.
So how do we get a hold of those numbers then, if that's the case?
We do the simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple.
Yep.
We say, fine, show us your authorizations, because you wouldn't be spending $550,589.19 without some form of oversight. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to be accountable for over $500,000 that's spent. Where's that accountability? Where is the authorization? And for everything that is spent of your money and mine,
mm-hmm.
there needs to be an authorization trail.
And how will that authorization trail then help all of us better understand where the money's gone and what's happened?
Because it would help them, the municipality, understand where they had messed up.
Oh, okay, so if it's that simple, then why are we still in this conflict? What's going on at the council that they seem to not buy into this proposal that you've just put to us now? This solution.
Well, you're asking the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on council. I think if every time my name comes up there, I'm akin to the skunk at the garden party. But because we're causing them a lot of fuss and bother about things they don't really want to fuss and bother about.
Well, I think to answer your question in all fairness, they're not willing to admit that they did anything wrong. This council, because they've inherited this, and again, this isn't this council that did this. This is a new council.
Well, this is
right.
Let me jump in here, because you picked on an excellent point. This is an issue that they inherited,
mm-hmm.
and they could have dealt with it up front.
Yep.
Say, fine, this isn't us. This is all the previous councils. Don't blame us. Yep. We're cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. And move forward.
Like Bob Sanderson told us when we interviewed him, this could be settled over a cup of coffee. The reality is this council isn't willing to acknowledge the fact that this money wasn't used appropriately. It's not on them, which is why I don't understand their unwillingness.
I don't understand that either, because Sanderson and I did settle it over that cup of coffee. It was a done deal. December the 18th, 2014. Done.
So what happened then?
They reneged.
So is it really just a matter of all of a sudden now the municipality has to come up with this money that they – because here's the issue. Here's how I want to explain it to the listeners. All right? So you are the manager of a trust. So you say you are a trust fund person. You get an income, perhaps a stipend every month you get from your trust. And there's a paper trail on that stipend because they have to account for all the money that comes out of it. But say the guy who's running your trust has, you know, oh, I don't know, maybe he's got a gambling problem. And he's decided to suck money out of your trust fund without you knowing it.
Whoa.
Right? And I'm not saying that that's necessarily what happened, but if they can't provide an accountability, if they can't provide a simple, basic paper trail, then obviously someone's got a gambling problem.
But what's the motivation, do you think, that they would renege? What would cause them to do that? You keep making it sound so simple. Why is it becoming so complex? And what was the motivation, do you think?
That is the question for which nobody seems to have an answer. They seem to have this messianic concept that they're right, and therefore we are wrong to question them. And that's their problem. They don't stop to understand that this is a very simple issue, and it can be fixed very simply. But they've got to look at reality in order for that to occur.
Can I ask you then... And I guess this takes us to the next step, which is if there's been monies that have been misspent, then obviously repayment has to be made. The books have to be balanced.
Once you're a trustee, you are strictly liable for your misdeeds.
All right. To solve that, then, it means that they're going to have to find that money. And that money is going to come from a general revenue, which is contributed to by all residents, Ward 1 and Ward 2. Is it really fair to the residents of Ward 1 or to the residents of Ward 2, that they're going to have to be paying back to something that was already theirs? In other words, should Ward 2 residents be facing a levy to pay back these monies, if that's the case?
That's almost a philosophical question, but you've got to answer it. You go back to, well, in the perfect world, and the municipality spends a dollar on everybody's behalf, how much of that dollar should have come from Ward 2, and how much of it should have come from Ward 1? And there's an answer to that, and it's called weighted assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, well, all right, about 25 cents should have come from Ward 2 mm-hmm. and 75 cents from Ward 1. Now, here we've got a situation where 50 cents or 100 cents is coming from Ward 2.
Mm-hmm.
So Ward 2 has been overpaying into this reserve for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not costing the Ward 1 residents any money when that reserve is now emptied and mm-hmm. the money put back in the fund.
Mm-hmm.
But putting it back in the fund prevents it from being misused in the future.
But is that part of the motivation, do you think, is the, how this is going to be resolved is going to be politically mm-hmm. toxic for this council, and that's part of the motivation?
I think it's financially expensive. You see, apart from misspending all the money, they have put this $10 million on their books as an asset. And it makes their corporation look financially viable. You take $10 million off their balance sheet, you've ripped their balance sheet in half.
And that's a political problem for this council.
No, this is a financial problem.
What, you don't see a political element to it?
I do not, because I don't think they've twigged to the reality of the financial issues facing their municipality.
Okay.
Well, we got a couple of questions. Just had a caller come in with a couple of questions. First of all, there was a legal defense fund put together by the Ward 2 residents to
That's correct.
Offset cuts.
Over 200 people have contributed.
Is that money going back to those 200 people then? That was the one question. What happens with that money for the legal defense
fund? Absolutely. That money goes back to them when the municipality ponies up with our costs.
Okay, and the second question, well, actually the first question, I read them in reverse. Municipal taxes have gone up in the municipality of Port Hope. We know that over the last 10 years there have been some increases, right? Have those increases in Ward 1 and Ward 2 been mirrored, or have Ward 2 residents seen any of this fund being utilized to offset any rate increases over the last 10 years?
Answer to both of those is yes. For a number of years, the fund was used to make sure that the the rate of tax increase in Ward 2 was mm-hmm. the same as Ward 1.
So their rate increases were the same then?
Yeah.
Ward 1 and Ward 2.
It was used to even them out.
Okay. So part of the fund then was, in fact, used for the purpose that it was designed to offset.
Yes. Yeah.
Any idea how much money was spent from the fund for that?
Well, one year they used $13,000.
Mm-hmm.
Another year they used, I think, $28,000. Not very much.
So say the average then would be, what, $20,000?
That happened for 3-4 years.
Oh, so that hasn't happened consistently then? So that was sporadic.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hope that answers the question from my caller then. Probably doesn't, because I guess part of the question is, since the fund was utilized to some extent to offset those increases, two questions then come to mind. Why did that stop, first and foremost?
Political.
And so, it sounds to me like a lot of the stuff that's happened with regards to this particular thing is that the municipality thought they'd stumbled onto a windfall, as I say, of this $10 million from Hope Township.
Some people call it a slush fund.
Well, and they became the trustees. I mean, I still can't wrap my head around how the municipality ended up becoming the trustees instead of the original trustee, and how the original trustee could then just abandon their obligation to the trust. I mean, how did that happen?
Well, good, very good question, for which I have no answer. The trust arrangement allowed the municipality to change trustees mm-hmm. from time to time if, for any reason, they felt the trustee was not doing a good job.
Okay, but by the municipality, that refers to Hope Township, right?
Well, and its successor, the municipality of Port Hope.
Okay.
But the authority is only to, if you give up one trustee, you've got to appoint another.
Right.
You can't pocket the money in the way through.
Well, that new trustee has the same fiduciary obligation to the trust persons, right?
That's right.
So is there, as a lawyer, you may can help us with this, is there any possibility for some other kind of legal action against previous counselors, previous politicians who maybe made bad faith decisions?
You're getting into an area that is, you know, we'd all like to see people held accountable for their misdeeds. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when you look at the elected arena, there's sort of a semi-immunity to being held to account for your stupidity or your negligence or your outright you know, manipulation of
That's a valid question, right? I mean, because if this was, you know, KPMG, some guy, Mario, who's running the trust for you, and then, you know, he's pocketing this money, there would be legal ramifications for someone else.
There's a big difference between an elected official and a person who is a trustee. There mm-hmm. are specific and very strict duties on a trustee, mm-hmm. and that's why Port Hope has been very, very stupid to back itself into the situation of being a trustee. They changed sort of a level of competence of decent good faith and reasonable competence mm-hmm. to strict liability. Dumb.
And
they did it to themselves.
And again, that was the previously elected council. I mean, how far does this go back?
No, it's this council, too. Because
they've picked up the mantle. They're carrying the ball, as it were.
And they're continuing with the ball. Instead of saying, oh, thank you, Justice McCarthy, now we know where we are. Now the first thing we're darn well going to do is we're going to appoint a third-party trustee. We're going to get out of this stupid job.
Yeah.
No, they don't do that. They say, we're going to appeal.
And
if they succeed in their appeal, if if they win their appeal, according to their theory, they've got to turn the money back to Canada.
Their
logic is missing.
Why would they
undertake an appeal whose only success is to allow them to pass the money back to the federal government?
But if their books are, if there's something underneath this that they're afraid of, doesn't that start to be explain why they're going to such great extent?
So what is it that they're afraid of? What is it that we don't know? What is it that they are hiding? What is it that they're trying to cover with all these neat little adjustments on the accounting we saw last week? What's going on here that's so bad that they have to go to this extent to try to cover it up?
Will the order by the justice be sufficient to get us down to that point where we're going to be able to find out the answers to those questions? I mean, is his order sufficient that they're going to have to come clean at some point?
We're going to have to go back to him, but they're going to have to come clean, and they're going to have to produce the money.
Well, and why in God's name wouldn't they have simply, when the justice handed down his decision, even though you plan to appeal it, which it seems to me they're going to, why wouldn't they bring in a forensic accountant to go through the books to just determine where this money went? Because there's got to be a beginning point to this search.
Do you think they really want to know?
Well, I think they're going to have to know. I think they're going to have to be accountable to the voters of the municipality of Port Hope, whether you're Ward 1 or Ward 2. Because the Ward 1 residents, I'm telling you right now, are just as upset about this as the Ward 2 residents, because the Ward 1 residents know they're going to have to pay this money back.
Well, and they're absolutely right. That they're dragged into something that the council has done, and it's, you know, they now have
they to elected these people too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, and I wonder to what extent there is going to be any sort of choice, because this is not something that they can politically dance around. I mean, a justice of the courts has ordered that this happen. So sooner or later, appeal or no appeal, they've got to produce an answer that's sufficient that the judge is going to be satisfied. And I think that's where the rubber's going to hit the road.
And you're absolutely right. This is something beyond their control. And that is, I think, part of their what's causing them to react
in
such an erratic fashion.
I'll tell you, we'll be right back after the break. Listeners, my guest in the studio is Ian Angus, the former Reeve of the former Hope Township, and one of the gentlemen who decided to stand up for Ward 2 and fight for their money to be returned to them. And Rob Washburn, of course, you're listening to Consider This Live on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. This is Canada's only holistic political chat.
Northumberland 89.7 goes to war. Join us Friday morning after 10 as we share stories from people who were there, followed by live coverage from the Remembrance Day ceremonies from the Cenotaph, honoring those who fought for us. Live on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Come out to Hometown Bingo on Saturday, November the 26th for our Christmas Cash Bingos. At 12:30 and 3:30, all regular games, $150 and $200. Second Chance Jackpot, $500. Dual Dab Game, two lines, $50. Full Card, $100. All Shutterboard Games, $50. Mini Players and Hometown Progressive, Minimum Consolation, $500. We are located at 884 Division Street, 905-372-5426, or visit us at hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Follow Northumberland 89.7 on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Get connected through our website at northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. You're listening to Consider This on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. This part of the Drive Time, heard every Wednesday with my guest and producer, Rob Washburn. He's now got the producer title. I'm giving it to him. He's taking it. He's taking the mantle. Oh, and the crowd loved that. See, we got fans in the house, man. Ian Angus, of course, we are talking about the trust fund or slush fund for the residents of Ward 2. So really, what's the next step? I mean,
I'll tell you what I'm interested in. Have you been talking to people in Ward 1, and what sort of things have you been hearing from what people are saying to you about this situation and what's to come next?
What I've been hearing is that they really aren't engaged. They should be more concerned, but the feedback I'm getting is that keep going in, you know, you're doing a good job sort of thing, but they don't really, it's not high on their radar.
Do you think that will change once a budget comes about that will have to factor in these repayments and the sort of equity issues start to get dealt with, and that actually appears as part of a budget?
I think it probably will not. I think there's a reasonable chance it might, but the chance is less than 50%.
Why not? Why don't you think?
Because a lot of people come to this community and sort of don't get involved in how it's governed and how it runs, and they just once a year or how many times a year they write a check and say, "Fine, those are my taxes." A lot less than Toronto, and thank you. I'm going to go out and do something else.
Your activism on this has quite the background. I mean, you are the former Reeve of the Township. How personal has this initiative been for you as you've walked along the path?
It's been a point of pride that, you know, a group of us spent, well, 9 years of my life running the municipality, the township, and we did in what we considered to be a lot of good things, and we achieved a great deal. This legacy, we achieved that as well, and to have it plundered is not right.
When did you first come to the realization the money wasn't being used for what it was supposed to be used? When did that suddenly happen? When did the light bulb go off?
The last straw was when I saw it added to the financial statements of the municipality for the year end 2012. That was it. They've crossed the Rubicon.
Once they just sort of slipped it into their general fund.
This is no longer even being discussed as a trust. They've taken possession of it.
So, and I mean, I got to say this, you know, Bob Sanderson, he's a guy, you know, he gets elected as a guy who's going to be open and accountable. He's a businessman. He knows how business is run. You know, he can make sure that Port Hope's successful because he can bring people to the municipality, and he's such a great businessman. You know, I'm very much like Donald Trump, let's face it. You know, and I'm going to throw it out there. I mean, he's probably not like Donald Trump in person, but, you know, when you look at it on paper, very similar, right? Self-made guy. How is it that this guy, who is supposed to be really good at business, as you said, you had a coffee with him, how is it he can't wrap his head around the fact that this money has to be paid back? How is it he can't wrap his head around the fact that if this was not a municipal trust, if this was a trust being administered by anyone else, there would be charges of embezzlement leveled against the persons who took this money? How is it that he can't wrap his brain around? And again, I don't want to belittle Bob, but the reality is this is pretty simple stuff. This isn't rocket science. There's money in a trust, and it's being taken for other things.
But
that's a violation of the trust.
But and there's another aspect to this, which is not pretty. This has become something in their mind that Ian Angus has set on them. This has become Ian Angus's issue, and it's Ian Angus that has caused all of this.
You're saying that this has been personalized?
Very, very much personalized.
How do you get that sense?
Oh, talking to people who talk to the councillors. I've got a pretty good underground network here, and the feedback I'm getting is disgraceful.
Have you ever had an instance where, to your face, that's been made apparent?
Oh, yes.
Could you tell us about that?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
So you've been basically turned into Julian Assange on this entire issue. I mean, Julian Assange is being blamed for the failure of Hillary Clinton to become president of the United States, and I'm saying this because it's so appropriate to today. The reality is somebody had to bring this to the attention.
No, I'm not up to his standard. I don't have enough emails in my pockets
But somebody had to raise
everybody.
The alarm. You know, I mean, why shoot the messenger? It's the message that is so revolting. Why shoot the messenger? When somebody screws up, I mean, I'm sick of this world we live in where whistleblowers and people who call attention to nefarious acts and things that are just not being done appropriately. You know, when did we stop holding those people up and saying thank you very much? When did we stop as a society?
I think in this case, to get back to this $10 million trust fund, the intention of the trust fund was to put the money in the pockets of the ratepayers, the people from whom the municipality goes every year and says, I want part of your pocketbook.
Yep.
And that's their money. That's their benefit. It's to them the reason that they are putting up with this low-level waste storage thing and blah, 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 and the stigma and all the rest of this. And it's payback. And the municipality is destroying this payback that these people have every right to expect.
Is there any chance that the court case that's been brought and the judge's decisions thus far will be insufficient to get you where you want to be? Or will this case solve it ultimately as a certainty? Or are you going to have to do other things?
Well, we're going to have to go back to the court.
Mm-hmm.
But the decision we got at the end of June
mm-hmm.
is that's what we asked for, and that gives us all the tools that we need to get this put right.
So I'm just trying to determine that if there, for some reason this fails, would there have to be additional steps taken or are there additional paths to get you to the same place, or will this do it ultimately one way or t'other?
Well, this is done.
It's a done deal.
Done deal. And you'll notice that the municipality in their appeal, they didn't appeal the finding that it is a trust. They argued about some of the technicalities of what type of trust, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But they stayed away from what is very clearly established by the court. The court has said the three certainties are there. It's a trust. End of story.
You know, it's interesting. When these people ran for municipal government in the last election, one of the things that they were fighting against was a sense of pettiness of previous councils that had sort of devolved into minor squabbles and nitpicking on certain groups and vilifying others. And isn't it fascinating that they're starting, it seems to me, are they traveling down that path as well now because of this kind of thing? Is it becoming something that is internally causing this council to implode?
When the previous council was running things,
mm-hmm.
it was apparent to a lot of people that the staff seemed to be making all the decisions and the council was sort of going home early. And it was hoped that this new council would actually set the tone, would actually set the terms
mm-hmm.
and set the standards of expectation that they required the municipal staff to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That has been their failing. They do not appear to have done any of that.
Well, and then they got rid of crucial staff. Typical. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to The Drive Time, Northumberland 89.7, is truly local radio. Radio for the people of Northumberland by the people of Northumberland.
Shimmy, shake, move, and groove while listening to adventurous stories from around the world. Come on and join me, The Traveler, host of Capsize, every Friday night, 10 to midnight. Remember to ride the wave and don't capsize right here on Northumberland 89.7. Truly local radio. Baby, I
like your stuff. The Art Gallery of Northumberland presents Northumberland Went to War, 1914 to 1918. From November 3rd to December 4th, come and experience this important exhibition depicting the impact of the First World War on the people of Northumberland County. Watch for special displays at the Colborne Art Gallery and at libraries, archives, and store windows throughout the county. Celebrating an important part of local history, Northumberland Went to War, presented by the Art Gallery of Northumberland at Victoria Hall, 55 King Street West in Coburg.
Reaching customers may be hard, but let us help you. Advertising on Northumberland 89.7 couldn't be easier. Call us today at 905-372-2391.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This is our weekly installment of Consider This Live. Rob Washburn is in the studio with me, and Ian Angus, the former Reeve of Hope Township, the man who is spearheading this legal action between the residents of Ward 2 and the municipality of Port Hope. What happens next? What is next?
Well, I think the next thing, unfortunately, is we wait. We wait until this appeal is resolved, and then we can get on with cleaning up the accounting. We will not be cleaning up the accounting before then, because we will not be able to get back before McCarthy and point out the shortcomings.
Well, I mean, his decision stated that they had to provide a complete accounting, which they haven't done.
It's incomplete, and it's...
So, I mean, how do they even got room to appeal on a situation like that?
No, they're not appealing on the accounting. They're appealing on the fact that he called the trust a trust. They're appealing on the fact that I didn't have the proper status to bring the application in the first place. They're appealing on the fact that I took too long to bring them to account.
Yeah, but there's a paper trail showing that you had done everything you could prior to this. I mean, for you, first of all, we should let the listeners know. I mean, this wasn't your first step. You didn't just wake up one day and go, they're taking our money. That's it. We're going to court. You went to them. You went to successive councils, I trust, after the municipalities were merged and said, okay, what's happening with this money? And, why aren't we getting some clarity on it?
Absolutely. And
so their argument that you just came out of nowhere for this and you ultimately violated statute of limitations and all that, I mean, they were blocking you every step of the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But we did make some headway when we were part of this tax rewriting committee, and we did get a lot of the figures that we now are using approved by the municipality. So, we got a good start, but they just absolutely refused to acknowledge.
Is Ward 2 going to get their money back, Mr. Angus? Is that a reality here? Or if, because, I mean, the mayor's outlined if something doesn't give, the money's just going to go back to Ottawa. Is Ward 2 going to get their money?
Yes.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to bring it to a close. You've been listening to Consider This Live on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. My guest has been Ian Angus, the former Reeve of the former Hope Township, a man who firmly believes that the residents will get their money. They've had their day in court. Here's Doug and the Slugs taking us out with Making It Work, and let's hope Port Hope can.